25, starting in verse 27. The Bible says, "And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau, because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sod pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, 'Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint.' Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, 'Sell me this day thy birthright.' And Esau said, 'Behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me?' And Jacob said, 'Swear to me this day.' And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright." We're going to take this passage and have a couple, two or three thoughts, and talk about one bad bargain. One bad bargain. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the night that you've given to us. Thank you for the opportunity to come to church tonight. Just be with Pastor Pease and his family. Just keep him safe, Lord. Help them to have a good time. Bring them back to us safely. Just, Lord, as we look into your word tonight, help us to get the thoughts and the points and pin them to our heart, that we might be better soldiers for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We all love a good bargain. Some of us go to great lengths to get just the right deal. And if we don't get just the right deal, it upsets us. We just came back from Iowa, and I am not computer smart, all right? I leave that to other people, because anything with the internet, I do a little bit, but it messes me up all the time. And so I depend on other people. But my dad showed me eBay, and I liked it. And you could bid on those things, and you got to be careful, because you can get really overboard with it. But he showed me how to work it and how to bid, and you can watch the bids go up, and at the last second you get to see whether you get it or not. And I thought, that is cool. And so I started looking at some things that I had been looking for a while. One thing I'd been looking for about a year or so was a Kershaw knife. And just the right thing, because I've got some big pocket knives. And in suit pants, I didn't want it to, you know, rip the pants or anything. So I just wanted just a small blade, and just the right kind of thing for suit pants. But I didn't want to pay full retail, because they're kind of expensive. They're good knives. But I finally found one, and it was a green handle, just what I was looking for. And I started bidding on it. And we stayed at that computer watching the seconds go down. And I remember it was time to go for supper. And we would go up there, and I said, "Now, Dad, 5:30, we got to make sure we look at that thing again." And I was getting so nervous about it, I said, "Well, you can max bid on that thing." And I said, "I've been looking for that thing for a while." And I said, "This is what I'm willing to spend." And ended up, I got the knife about $20 below retail. I thought, that's a good deal, all right? I've been to the Smoky Mountain Knife Works in Tennessee, and they didn't really have exactly what I was looking for, because I wanted something with a green handle. But I thought, it's a good deal. We all like good deals. But in this passage, we find one bad deal. You might think, well, it doesn't even make sense. It's like somebody having a new truck, and you go up to that person, you said, "Okay, here's the deal. I like your truck. I can use it. You're not using it to its fullest extent, its fullest capacity. So here's what, you come to my house, we'll have some hot dogs, and you give me the truck, and I'll give you some hot dogs." Now, any smart person would say, "No, that's not a good deal, all right? It better be some long-lasting hot dogs with some cash inside of it, all right?" But this Esau and Jacob, they're two different people, all right? They had the same parents, but Rebekah loved one. Rebekah loved Jacob, all right? And let's see, what's the other guy's name? Abraham? Thank you. All right, he loved Esau, all right? And Jacob loved Esau. No, I'm sorry. Whew. Isaac, thank you. All right, Isaac, he loved Esau. We'll get it right in a second. And they were not only different in who their parents loved loved them, but one was hairy. Esau was a hairy guy. And Jacob, he was nice and smooth. He wasn't a furball like his brother. Some other things that were different about it. Esau, he was a man of the woods. He loved to hunt. He was a farmer. Jacob, he wanted to stay around the tents. He wanted to stay around mama. Just different people, but they had one thing that they had in common. That was called a birthright. All right. The birthright was Esau's by providence, but Jacob's by promise. Now, what is the birthright? According to Genesis 49:3, it had a spiritual blessing, which was the excellency of dignity, the excellency of power, as well as the double portion. So with the birthright, you had some special treatment, basically. You got a little bit extra. But Esau, as we'll find out, made a bad bargain. What brought Esau to this point that for a plate of pork and beans, he was willing to give up his birthright? Well, let's get right into it. In verse 29 through 30, the Bible says, "And Jacob sawed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, 'Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint.' Therefore was his name called Edom." The first thing, Esau was impatient. Esau was impatient. I'm originally from Iowa, as most of you know, and Iowa grows some big deer. So it is a big deal when deer season comes in. I remember when I was still living there that a couple, as actually an employer of mine and some other guys, we went out hunting. Now we went to these woods. We had never been here before. And we went to a farmer that we knew and said, "Can we hunt your patch?" And he said, "Sure, go ahead." Well, the idea was myself and another guy was going to go into the woods, find a nice spot, sit down, and the other guys were going to start walking and see what they could scare up to us. So that's what we did. Myself and another guy, we went into the woods, and we kind of went deep into the woods, and before we knew it, we were kind of lost. But before we really admitted we were lost, we found just the right spot, all right, some deer trails, some paths, and so we sat down and waited a little bit, and I said, "You know what, we're already a little bit disorientated," all right, we didn't really admit to it, about being lost. I said, "Why don't we go ahead and get up and try and get out of here?" Well, we started to get up and get out of here, and some does came running through the woods, and before he could think, he started firing his gun, and he shot a doe. And I was like, "Way to go, Tonto. Now we got to pack out a deer and we're lost." So that's what we did. We started through the woods. We put the deer, we traded. I had the guns and he had the deer across his back. Now these deer are big deer. We didn't get too far. And he said, "This thing's heavy." And he's a big guy. I said, "Well, let's gut it. Let's drop 40, 50 pounds." So we did that. We gutted the thing. And I took over. I had the deer, and I said, "Well, this is dumb." And we were lost. We couldn't find our way out. So ended up we had to drop the deer for the coyotes, and we made our way out. By the time we got out, it was late. We were hungry. I was thirsty, and I remember getting into the truck, and that dashboard looked like beef jerky to me. I mean, I was hungry. All right, that's what Esau was. He went hunting. Now, from now on, when I go hunting, I plan. I actually take beef jerky. I remember going with Pastor Browder, and a couple years ago, we went hunting, and I had beef jerky, and I opened it up, and boy, that aroma came out, and he said, "What's that for?" And I said, "I'm hungry. Leave me alone. In case you get us lost, I'm prepared." But anyway, that's what Esau was. He went out. He didn't prepare. He didn't have anything to tide him over. He thought he was skilled. He thought he was good. All right. And he was good. He was used to it. He knew the right deer trails. He knew the right place to go. He knew the right watering holes. But for whatever reason, he didn't get anything. And he came back faint. And the Bible said he was so hungry that he couldn't even take the time, because he's back at camp, he didn't want to even take the time to make his own dinner. Well, Jacob's ready, all right? Because Jacob has his eye on the birthright, all right? Jacob has some victuals for him, or not for him, but he has some victuals in a pot ready. And Esau comes back and he sees that and he says, boy, if you don't give me that, I'm just going to die. I'm just going to faint. He was over-exaggerating is what he was doing, all right? But he was impatient. In today's society, we are a people of impatience. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 8, it says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Listen, Christian, Satan will try to offer you things that sound easier than what is really best. Now, would it really take that much extra time? Esau already made it back to camp. He could take a quick 8-10 minutes, catch his breath, and make something. But it wasn't ready. Right? Jacob had something ready. Esau was impatient. So he said, look, if you don't feed me, I'm going to die. Well, what does Jacob do? Before we get into that, you know, in today's society, we are in a quick, moving, fast-paced society. I remember when we were coming back last week, and, you know, speed limits are there for a reason, okay? But when you're traveling with two kids for many hours, they get annoying. And another thing, I remember this happened to us. We were in, I think, Kentucky. We hadn't hit West Virginia yet. And we were in Kentucky, and we were traveling along, and all of a sudden, we started slowing down. And we, for about 3 miles, we went about, it took 40 to 45 minutes. Now, usually in this type of scenario, your tank would be low on gas. But that wasn't our problem, right? We had two problems. Brad was screaming, and I had to go to the bathroom. Those are problems, all right? So for 40 minutes, we crept about 3 miles, finally came to an exit, and boy, we took it off, went to a Cracker Barrel, and got satisfied. But, you know, for 3 miles, I thought, this is ridiculous. I was impatient. We're wasting time. Don't these people know that you know, and I think it was a wreck or an accident, but still, they could have done it on the other side of the road. I mean, why do it in the direction I'm going, all right? I was impatient. That was Esau's problem. And Esau's problem was Jacob's way in. What else was Esau? He was influenced. He was not only impatient, but he was influenced. In verse 31, Jacob has a solution. Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die. What profit shall this birthright do to me? He said, what's the point of even talking about it? Where's the victuals? All right, this birthright's not going to do me any good. I'm going to die. All right, get the beans and serve me. He was influenced by Jacob. How many times are we influenced by other people? You think of Satan. He uses many different tricks. Remember Job and Job's life? He used Job's wife to try and influence him. What did Job's wife come and say? Curse God and die. Well, that didn't work for Job. So Satan had some more things up his sleeve. He had friends. He tried to use Job's friends to influence him. Well, maybe you've sinned. Maybe you've done something to displease God. Go and get it right. Look, Satan uses finances, food, sickness, and even death to try and influence us. Now you might say, well, how can he use death? You ever have somebody, a loved one, pass away, and you just think you couldn't go on anymore? Where's those thoughts come from? They come from the devil. Why? Because in John 4, 1 John 4, 4 says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Look, we're all going to have problems. We're all going to have trials and struggles and temptations that come, but we can overcome that. Now, we can't overcome that in our own strength and power. You try it, and you'll fall flat on your face every time. But because if you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you that gives you the power to overcome the devil. Because God is more powerful than the devil. Now, you yourself, you don't stand a chance against the devil. But with God on your side, you don't have to be the victim. You don't have to fail. We don't have to just cower in a corner and let the devil whip up all over us. Now, we don't need to charge at him, all right? But you can stand on your own 2 feet and say, thus and thus saith the Lord, and this is what's right. And I'm not gonna be influenced by that. There's so many things that influence us. Friends can influence you. The work site can influence you. Now, I understand we have church on Sunday and Wednesday, but you're out in the world Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, most of Wednesday, Saturday, you're out in the world a lot more than you are in church. You're around influences, more ungodly influences in the workplace than you are around godly influences. And if you're not careful, you can even become like them. Maybe it's kind of gradual, all right? Maybe you don't just all of a sudden start acting or talking the way they do, but it can happen. You have to be on guard because Satan will use any opportunity, any time that you might be even the least bit depressed, that is Satan's foothold. He will get in there and say, what is the point? Everybody else is doing this. Everybody else is acting like this. Influences is a powerful thing. Look, if you were the only Christian that was in somebody's life, could they tell by just your actions if you're a Christian or not? Because actions and words are different. Anybody can talk a good talk. But when your life walks what you're talking about, that's when there's a difference. That's when you make a difference. Because whether you like it or not, people watch you. Whether you're happy about it or not, you get noticed. Maybe you're just noticed from afar. Does your testimony influence others to want to live a more fulfilling Christian life? Does your testimony encourage the lost people to come and say, what is different about you? Why are you so happy? Look, you go through some of the same trials as lost people go through. But you can live through that differently. We don't have to be like the lost crowd and just give up when tough times come. Why? Because we have a God in heaven who cares about us. We have a God who in heaven who loves us, who wants us to cast our burdens upon him. If your testimony for Christ cannot be displayed through your actions alone, not just with what you say, your character probably could stand a car wash. All right? It probably is a little bit dirty. Can people notice that you're a Christian? Influence. It's a powerful thing. Jacob used just a little bit that he had, and it sucked Esau in. He said, what's the point? There's nothing. I'm going to die without it. You can have the birthright. Number 3, verse 34. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils. And he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. And thus Esau despised his birthright. Esau was ignorant. He was impatient. He was influenced. But he was ignorant. He made the transaction. He ate. He got something to drink. And the Bible says he rose up. And that despising his birthright, that word despised means that he thought the birthright was worthless. Now, how long do you think that meal tided him over? Right? He got hungry again. It might have been 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours, whatever it was. All right? He would get hungry again. It didn't pacify. The birthright would last forever. All right, you get what I'm saying? Satan comes to us and says, look, do it this way. It's easy, it's fast, it's convenient, because we like things that are convenient. All right, do it this way, and it'll work for you. Well, it worked, but it didn't satisfy completely. It only worked until the next time he got hungry. He thought it was worthless. How sad it is to have such a blessing from God, the birthright, and to treat it like that. But you know, if you're saved here tonight, you have a blessing from God. All right? It's called salvation. Amen. I have a blessing from God. How do we treat that blessing? Do we look at it? Maybe we don't count it as worthless, all right? Because being saved and on your way to heaven, that's something to be overjoyed about. But are we not so excited to spread the news? Maybe we're just not excited. We can get excited in church because it's common ground, all right? You're supposed to get excited in church, but out in the workplace, out in the community, you'll shy away from it a little bit. Not that you're ashamed, but that could be somebody else's department to spread the news. We have the greatest gift God ever gave man. Do we spread it? Do we share it? Do we tell somebody about it? Or are you just ignorant? Are we ignorant sometimes and say, well, they'll hear it from somebody else. They'll eventually get in church. God will make a way for them somehow to hear. Well, maybe that way is you. Right? God didn't save his children just so he can sit back and sit. He saved his children so we can get up and go, get up and get. All right, well, there's a reason why we're left here, and that's to serve the Lord. And part of that service is being a testimony, being a light. What's the little song? Hide your bushel under. I won't hide my bushel or a candle under a bushel. All right, no. All right, that's not God's plan. God's plan is for you to shine brightly into the world. And people might think you're a little bit goofy, but that's okay. All right, what did the Bible say? We're a peculiar people. All right, we're supposed to be different. A preacher once told me 5 minutes of sin is not worth 50 years of ministry. Amen. We can be going strong for God. And Satan comes and he says, you know what? Let's take a bypass. Now, on the road, bypasses are nice, right? What do? They bypass towns, cities, places you don't want to get stuck in because the traffic's slow, congested. We like those kind of bypasses. But in life, the Bible says, walk the straight and narrow road. All right? Why? Because that's where it's safe. The devil will offer so many different avenues in your life of how you can maybe get around something that maybe you don't like. And you say, you know what, that sounds like a good idea. I'll do that and see how it works for me. How do you think it worked for Esau? It didn't. All right. He got a bad bargain. In Ephesians 4:27, the Bible says, neither give place to the devil. Why? Because your adversary will strive to influence your mind, irritate your spirit. And we're to watch and pray that he doesn't get a place in us. If we are not careful, if we are not sober, like the Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He is out to not only take you down, but to absolutely destroy your life. And he is going to work on it until you're in heaven. Because he doesn't like God. He hates God. He is not the friend of God. And if he's not the friend of God, he sure doesn't like you and me. And he is going to use everything in his arsenal to take us out, to take us down, to get us to fail. Because then he can go up to God and say, hey, look at that one. All right? What happened there? I thought he was doing well. I thought he was serving you. I thought he was faithful to church. I thought he was faithful to reading his Bible. He's not praying anymore. Look at that one. It's up to us to stand strong. It's up to us. You remember Samson? Samson had this problem. In Judges 16, he is confused about where his strength really comes from. The Bible says in Judges 16:20, and she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. What does that mean? He was ignorant. He didn't realize that he no longer had the power of God. How sad is that? Is there maybe at times in our lives that we get up and how sad it would be if we wouldn't realize or we didn't realize that we don't have God's power that day? Because if we don't have God's power each and every day, we'll fall flat on our face. Only with the power of God can we stand and stand strong. So what's the application here? Don't become impatient. Wait on God. Guard your influences, and not just your influences. Who and what influences your life? We could talk a lot about that as far as what comes into your home as far as friends, even family. You know, not every family member might be a good influence to your kids, to your grandkids. Watch who they hang around. To Esau, the birthright wasn't doing him any good. He was for the here and now, not the long term. We don't need more ignorant Christians. We need more ignited Christians. A Christian that has passion. A Christian that has a desire. A Christian that has a love for God. Those are the types of Christians that we need. Will you be that kind of a Christian? We need to be strong, deeply rooted, because Satan will come and attack us. Or sometimes in life, do we become impatient? Sometimes maybe we let the wrong influences come in. We can fix that. How? Let's not be ignorant about it. Let's fix it. Let's fix those problems so that when Satan attacks, we'll be ready. Let's go and have a word of prayer. Everybody stand.